The main verse for today that I've pulled out is from 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And it says this. Joe, you can go to the next slide there. It says, "Now we see things imperfectly, like puzzling reflections in a mirror. But then we will see everything with perfect clarity. All that I know is partial and incomplete. But then I will know everything completely, just as God now knows me completely. All that I know now is partial and incomplete." So this year, my wife Leticia and I will be married for 15 years. So I'm proud of that. And so we'll be married for 15 years. And the thing is that there's a lot after being married to Leticia for 15 years, which is a big chunk of my adult life, where she can still be a bit of a mystery to me, right? Even though I live with her and we do life together daily. So I'll give you a few examples of that. She's out there getting the coffee. I want to make sure she's hearing these. Some things I don't understand about Leticia: how she can read deep books on the inner workings of emotions and the mind, but she does this for fun, like these big, thick books. Or how excited, like actually giddy, she gets about spreadsheets and budgets. Or how she can be so courageous and like quick on her feet in difficult conversations. Like she's kind of my hero. You're my hero. How she always places these things like in our house in like massive uncontrollable piles all over our house, but she knows exactly where everything is. Meanwhile, I'll misplace like my keys and my wallet a few times a day. But or how she can bake a pie. She's a great baker. She can bake a pie, but then eat the entire thing herself. So, but beyond this, there are bigger, more broad things that I don't know about Leticia, like what she's thinking about at any given moment. Every memory that she's ever had, when she wakes up in the morning, how she's feeling or what her dreams were about, what she's craving for dessert, though if we were to guess, it would probably be pie. Yeah. Okay, so where am I going with this? If I cannot fully understand Leticia, who is the closest human to me, my beautiful wife, my hero, how in any way could I fully comprehend God, right? In Psalms 145, it says this: "Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. His greatness is unsearchable." Or Paul, that guy who wrote, you know, a lot of the letters in the New Testament, the guy who heard God's audible voice, you know, when he was on the road and had his conversion, you know, where God did amazing miracles through Paul, right? Like to the point where in Acts it talks about people would take their fabric, like touch Paul with it, and then take it back to their sick, and then like touch their sick with it, and then the sick people were healed. This is the Paul who in 1 Corinthians writes, "All that I know is partial and incomplete." All they know is partial and incomplete. So today's message is on the mystery of God, okay? The mystery of God. And I want to tell you today, just to start off, God is incomprehensible. Way over our heads, we can't have every answer about him. But I want you to tell you today that that's okay. We don't need to know everything there is about God because we simply can't. And I get it that it can sometimes bother us when we don't have black and white answers maybe on what God thinks, how he works, how he exists, or what he does. Or maybe we have everything about God all nicely packaged up, right? Where our answers become black and white, and it can really mess with us when life does something unexpected and we can't understand how our version of God fits into it all. Maybe we sometimes get stuck in big, complex ideas about God. Maybe due to our curiosity, maybe we're trying to look at like cute new ways to kind of explore who God is. Sometimes maybe we, even with good intentions, try to explain God, like what God is thinking or feeling or doing in a situation when we really have little idea. Personally, I've even realized in theology training, one of the core courses that I have to take is called systematic theology, which is looking at like the systematically looking at the nature of God. And the whole thing is we can get so bogged down with cognitive information overload when it comes to God. And we end up journeying on this complex labyrinth that seeking God can become really exhausting. So all this is to say that we're trying to understand God, who's this complex yet alive being, right? That's present, yet he's this mysterious God who is incomprehensible, yet approachable. And here, and he's present in our midst. But he is a mystery. And so before I go into the whole mystery thing, I want to say that God, this isn't to say that God isn't revealed. Like, God is incomprehensible, like in our understanding in some ways, but he is knowable relationally. I'll even say intellectually and spiritually, right? Often the Bible helps us know God through actually things called like metaphors or allegory, to use human words to try to describe God, this God who is really indescribable, that human language can't fully describe. Like, Jesus often used parables to try to, to use human language to try to wrap our heads around what God is kind of like, right? Or what the kingdom of God was like. And so, like, we can look at, say, the story of the prodigal son. And we have this picture of God as this father who is waiting for his son to come home, right? And is not angry, but he has his arms open, runs to his son, embraces him after his son messes up, right? To show the love that God has for us. And I don't think we could even fully comprehend that, right? Or we have stories of God being like a shepherd, right? And he leaves 99 behind to go chase after the one. But there's lots of different ways that God is described, whether it's a rock or a vine or fire or water, all these like interesting things. There's so many of them. This is not a comprehensive list. And an interesting one I saw was the word ruach. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. Can you guys say that? Ruach? Ruach, right? This is the word used to define spirit, breath, or wind. And it's to kind of describe the spirit of God, his invisible being, right? And in Psalms 33, it says, by the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, their starry host, by the ruach, or the breath of his mouth. And we see all kinds of characteristics of God, like other things as well. Like Isaiah 40 talks about him being an everlasting God. Joe, you can go to the next slide if you want. Even God passed by Moses at a point. Like Moses said, could I see your glory? And God passed by and would not show his front side, hid Moses behind a rock and let Moses see his backside. But even when God passed by, he kind of described himself, right? He said, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God. He's slow to anger. He's abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands, forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. Yet he does not leave the guilty unpunished. He punishes the children and their children for the sin of the parents to the third and fourth generation. And there's lots of other spots too. Again, not a comprehensive list, but like 1 John talks about God being light. 2 Peter talks about the Lord is not slow in keeping his promise. He's patient. Psalm 50 talks about a God of justice or righteousness. And of course, the one that John's been talking about the last month was in 1 John, God is love. But the best way that this mysterious being is revealed is through Christ. And because Christ is God, he is the invisible made visible, right? And like in John, in the book of John, it talks about how one of Jesus' disciples, Philip, said to Jesus, he says, hey, just like show us the Father and that will be enough for us. And Jesus said, like, haven't you hung out with me? Don't you understand who I am? Like, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Colossians talks about how Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. But Christ is also God's plan, right? And it actually uses the word mystery, at least in the English translation of a lot of Bibles. And a few examples of this is, if you look in Colossians, it talks about the mysterious plan, which is Christ himself. Ephesians 3 talks about the mystery that is through the gospel, the Gentiles are sharers together in the promise in Christ Jesus. 1 Timothy talks about the mystery from which true godliness springs is great. He appeared in the flesh. Ephesians also talks about the mystery of his will, which he purposed in Christ. So we have all this stuff that talks about God. Yet, I still go back to connecting with Paul when he says, all that I know now is partial and incomplete. There's still a mystery when it comes to God. We didn't see Jesus 2,000 years ago. We still need faith to believe. And even then, God can be such a mystery. We still read about this God that is holy when he has this intense glory, one that spoke to Moses through a burning bush that wasn't burning. And then Moses asked his name, and he just says, I am who I am. You know, and we have, I told you the story about how when God passed by Moses with his glory, he couldn't show Moses his front side. He had to put him behind a rock, right? God is the one who guided the Israelites by a pillar of fire by night and a cloud by day, who created this complex world with his word, who functions in this mysterious spiritual world with angels and demons that we can't see, who always existed and never dies, who is somehow three in one, who shows up in visions and dreams to talk to people, and even at one point in the Bible showed up as a donkey, to talk to someone through a donkey, right? So what do we do with all of this? Like, what do we do? We know some things, but God is still incomprehensible. So this is where it gets exciting. Because we are welcomed to engage in the awe and wonder of God. We can sit in the mystery without having all the answers and be moved in our response. I'm going to say that again. Engage in the awe and wonder of God. We can sit in the mystery without all the answers and be moved in our response. So I'm going to start with awe. I'm going to take a few quotes from Brené Brown today. She's a social worker and an author. And this is, we're actually going to, separate awe and wonder. And to start with awe, Brené Brown writes this. When feeling awe, we tend to simply stand back and observe to provide a stage for the phenomenon to shine. She also writes, awe-inducing events may be one of the fastest and most powerful methods of personal change and growth. Does anyone here want personal change or growth? I do. And I'm not sure if anyone has had a moment of awe that's changed you. Maybe it was like the birth of a child. You know, maybe it was hiking a mountain, seeing a sunset, seeing some kind of miracle, a work of art, a moment of deep connection with someone. Like, process this for a second. What if instead of always trying to just pin down God, we just sat in amazement of him within the mystery? If we were staggered, if we allowed ourselves to be astonished, shaken, unnerved, knocked sideways, even have reverence, right? Which is, the Bible uses sometimes a word like fear, right? To fear him, which is not being scared of him, right? It's having this beautiful respect and awe for God. And in Hebrews 12, it says this, therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe. For our God is a consuming fire. We can stand amazed, in awe of an incomprehensible God without all the answers. With some answers, but not all of them. Like, imagine going on some amazing trip. So let's say that you go to a foreign land. It has beautiful, like, mountains and scenery and oceans, historical buildings, culture, whatever. A beautiful view. And you go and you sit in your hotel room, you stare at a wall, and you read a book about the place just outside your doors and never experience it. You are now on a trip with the awe-inspiring God. Look and experience the awe of God where you stand and don't miss the view. That's awe. Let's get into wonder. So the next part is wonder. Brené Brown, going back to her, it is stated like this. It fuels our passion for exploration and learning, for curiosity and adventure. Sometimes we can stand back and appreciate. But wonder allows us to dig in and want to know more. To know him more. And I'll say especially relationally, right? But also intellectually and spiritually, but open-handedly. Be so moved by him that it moves you. In 1 Chronicles, David instructs how to minister before the ark of the Lord. And he says to seek his face always. Which is repeated in Psalms. It says, your face I will seek. It's not only to learn about him. You can actually miss God that way. God, can I dare even say that if we just read about him, if we just learn about him, he can become or feel like some old relic, which he's not. If you only learn about him, you need to learn to know him relationally by seeking his face in communion with a living and mysterious and awe and wonder inspiring being. Wonder that leads to need not just to get a taste, right, but want to know more about this crazy God that moves us. Like a baby as they grow and they learn how to like walk and talk and crawl and get into everything, right? It's like that, right? Learn to experience this world of God, this mysterious God, more and more as we grow. So it's not only to understand how God works, but to understand him relationally. And I think the result can be meaningful when we sit in awe and wonder of God, who has a mystery to him. If you engage authentically and be all in, I believe that you can be inspired and motivated. I believe that our daily walk with God can become exciting and not just something we do. And I bet it will seep into all areas of our life, whether that is our family life, our church life, our work life, our relationships, whatever you do when nobody's looking by yourself. You want to share it with others, just like you want to share those pictures of your kid or share those pictures of the northern lights that you saw. I bet sin might even feel a little less enticing. You may want to serve others out of response for your love for God. You'll want to learn more. So at my house, I have an old lawnmower, one that does not work super well. It takes a lot of pulls to get that thing started. And maybe this is what it can feel like in kickstarting an old lawnmower. Maybe what you've done for a long time are intellectual exercises of God without sitting in awe and wonder. Maybe you have been frustrated by not having all the answers. Maybe it's been a while since you've been moved, like actually inspired by God and engaged in the mystery and been honestly just in awe and wonder, like been wowed by God. And I think we're all somewhere on this journey, somewhere. And I want to actually pray for us as a family, wherever we are on this journey today. So can I pray? Can we pray together? So let's bow our heads. Father, the incomprehensible yet knowable God who is here, in the name of Jesus, I pray that you move us to be wowed by you. God, you are amazing. We don't need more. We don't need more to be moved by you, God. We have who you are. We can look at Christ. We can look at creation. And we can be in awe and wonder, God. Father, I just pray that you kindle or rekindle that flame inside of us. Do not let us sit idle. Help us not miss the experience that is incomprehensibly and indescribably and approachably and knowably you, God. In Jesus' name. Amen. So I just have a couple take it home points, and then I'm just going to, after that, welcome the worship team to come back up. And these are my take it home points for today. First of all, understand that your understanding of God is limited. You will not have all the answers. You can't have all the answers, and that's okay. Second, but you can ask questions. You're allowed to ask questions. I encourage you to even ask God sometimes. But tackle these things in community. Tackle these things in community. Don't just do them by yourself. The next one is allow yourself to be captivated in awe of an incomprehensible God. Find something to be awed about daily. Maybe that's starting with a sentence of like, thank you, God, for blank. Allow yourself to just sit in that and be in awe sometimes. And the final one is to seek God in wonder. Seek his face. Allow yourself to be moved too. And allow God to like lead you by his spirit as well. Like there's a verse in 1 Corinthians, and many of us have heard this one before, but what no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no human mind has conceived the things God has prepared for those who love him. And the next verse actually says, these are the things God has revealed to us by his spirit. The spirit can show us mysterious things too. So I want to bless you guys in your journey of awe and wonder as we do this together to engage with not on just an intellectual level, but in awe and wonder of an amazing, mysterious God. I'll welcome the worship team back up. I mean, why don't I just have to say a quick prayer while they're coming up here. God, thank you so much that you are this amazing, mysterious God. And God, thank you that we don't have to have all the answers. Our brains would just explode trying to figure all this out, God. And thank you that you do reveal things to us, God, that you have especially revealed that to us through Christ. And God, I just pray as we seek your face, God, in this awe and wonder, let it move us, God. Thank you, God. In Jesus' name, amen.